Srila Prabhupada,
Ki Jai,
Sri Bhaktivedanta,
Ki Jai,
Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam,
Ki Jai,
Vididas, Maharaj,
Ki Jai,
Jaya Nitai Gopremananda.
Okay.
So what did we discuss last night?
As you said yesterday, envy binds everyone in material world. We came to material world, why? Because of envy to Krishna. So unless we are attached to Krishna, there is no way we can go to spiritual world.
Any other points?
Attachment develops envy. Because like Indra was too attached to his possession, so he was.
Yeah, anything else?
Yeah, Chaitanya is called Ajna Purusha and give the other. So just like from the past, we perform the heart sacrifice. Here at this stage, and give the other.
Good.
If we adhere to the order of spiritual master, then by that service to the spiritual master, we can easily attach to the spiritual master. And we must follow the instructions of the spiritual master very thoroughly and that's the reason to get out of the material world.
Any other points?
Okay, so Pandit Nayan, abundance and prosperity is automatic. One is too much attached to material comforts and is more prone to these things. But this is done so that it's not to show. Nothing is lacking in this, lacking in this world apart from Krishna consciousness.
That's fantastic. Any other points?
Everything depends on people accepting the basis of the very principles of suppression. Everything depends on
that.
Also, anxiety will always be there in the material world. So if we get attached to spiritual master, anxiety will be magnified to zero.
The reason we came to material world was because of envy, mantra, and when we get to the platform of Nirmantara, we are qualified to become that.
And Prabhupada says to study the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay. So we see in the this chapter, then the pastime begins describing how Lord Indra, who was envious of Prithu Maharaj, then he tried to take one of the sacrificial horses, which was being used for the Ashwamedha Yajna. So because he stole the horse, then he will become infamous. So we see in this section which we study tonight, we go from verses 11 to 26, then we'll see the result of Lord Indra taking the sacrificial horse of Maharaj Prithu and what the result was for the universe, and we begin to see what the result was for Indra also. Any points at this?
Why do you want to take
a horse? Ashwamedha Yajna. Prithu Maharaj performed 100 because when you perform yajna, then the earth becomes very fertile. It's a type of yajna. It means it can only be done by the emperor. Right? Only the emperor can be, just like Yudhishthira performed an Ashwamedha yajna. So Prija Maharaj is performing 100 of them because it makes everyone in his kingdom become very, it makes his kingdom very opulent, and then it's easy to take care of the citizens.
Do they kill the person?
Yeah. But then, that's what it means, sacrifice. But then the brahmanas bring the horse back to life. Okay.
Do they get hired from horses to human beings?
Yeah, well, it means that the at the beginning of the jagya, you have to test if the brahmanas have potency. So therefore, to test if the brahmanas have potency, they kill the horse or the cow or the goat, like that, and then the brahmana chants the mantra. So Prabhupada explains they take an old animal, and then when they chant the mantra, then he turns into a young animal. So then he is benefited, because his old body is gone, he has a new body, like that. And then it shows to the person who is performing the jagya that the brahmanas are qualified. They have potency.
And what is that leave the bush, and the horse goes everywhere.
Lord Rama did it. Lord Rama.
Yeah, there's two great sacrifices. One is called Rajasuya and one is called Ashwamedha. Yeah, in the beginning. At the beginning of every jagya, they kill one of the animals.
Right?
Yeah. Because even the other jagyas, they do this in the beginning. Because then it shows that the brahmanas are potent. If the brahmanas are not potent, then they cannot perform the jagya. What's that?
When the yagya is successful as well, it will show whether when the horse comes out younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to see because in order for the yagya to be successful, the brahmanas have to have potency. So if there's no potency, then yagya cannot be performed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the difference between the two?
Two different sacrifices? And Ashwamedha? I don't remember the details. Describes in Mahabharata, they did both of them, but I can't remember what the... Okay. I haven't been to one for a long time.
When you get invited to take us as well.
Yeah. Don't expect it to happen too soon. Any other points?
In Ashwamedha Yajna, it's also said that if 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas are performed successfully, that the person gets the throne of Indra. So that's one of the reasons why Indra always, in the beginning itself, he tries to disturb the Yajna. And as it approaches the 100th member, he becomes much more disturbed and he does all sorts of things because that is his power. We find the same when Bali Chakravarti was doing, he became the same. And others also. Whenever Ashwamedha Yajna is performed, there's a possibility of he losing his power, so therefore he becomes disturbed.
Same point. Same point. But if you do 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, then you can attain the post of Indra. Like that, so. Any other points?
Who was in yesterday morning? You asked a question when the tenure of Indra position is fixed, and if by doing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, how can that Indra be? Like, how can you take a place of that Indra whose tenure is fixed with the post, like 100 years?
I'm not sure how it threatened. Somehow it seems to have threatened him. So I'm not sure what the situation is. Anything else?
So wait, is envy born out of more of passion?
I don't think it's born out of the mode of passion, because it is said it's because of envy that we leave the spiritual world in the first place. Even before we've had association with the modes of nature. Yeah, but originally there is envy. That is the quality which takes us out of the spiritual world in the first place. Before we, and then we come in contact with ignorance and passion.
Do you forget that you are part of the Lord Krishna? And that's ignorance.
Yeah, because you leave the spiritual world, and then when you come into the material world, then you get covered by the three modes of nature. Okay, so then we forget. Okay, so we'll begin with verse 11, and tonight we'll go to verse 26. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yagya, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. Such a pretty thing.
King Indra is known as Satakratu, which indicates that he has performed 100 horse sacrifices, Ashwamedha Yagya. We should know, however, that the animal sacrificed in the Yagya were not killed. If the Vedic mantras were properly pronounced during the sacrifice, the animal sacrificed would come out again with a new life. That is the test for a successful Yagya. When King Prithu was performing 100 Yagyas, Indra became very envious because he did not want anyone to excel him. Being an ordinary living entity, he became envious of King Prithu, and making himself invisible, he stole the horse and thus impeded the Yajna performance.
So what are the points here?
What is the animal is not killed in the sacrifice, and get a new body, young body.
So the process of chanting the mantra by the Brahmanas to get the animal back to life is just a mechanical process, or is it a theoretical process as well?
No, they must have the tejas or the shakti. They must have the potency to be able to perform that activity.
No, because this purpose is there properly pronounced. So it looks like it is just
No, it's not just like that. That is part of it. Proper pronunciation must be there. Like that. So it's not only the pronunciation, it's also the potency of the Brahman. It means he has to have austerity. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. So he has to have qualification, he has to be practicing, then he develops potency. When he becomes potent, then he can perform these. Anything else?
The mantra when you are reciting, it becomes potent because of the proper pronunciation. People who do not have the ability to pronounce it properly, the mantra does not become potent.
Yeah, so it's partially. Partially is the pronunciation. But someone may say, pronounce it properly, but still, they don't have the purity. So pronounce it. Just like Ravana, he had perfect pronunciation. Like that, because his father was also a Brahmana. So he had that qualification, but he didn't have the qualification of purity. Yeah, there's some, it's something to do with that, but when it comes to it means the person has to have a certain amount of potency in order for it to be perfect, like that. So Ravana, he was a very potent individual, so he had the ability to do the yagyas, like that. But it's not just the pronunciation, that's not the only element.
Actually, we used to be some Brahmanas, or and they used to check whether everything is pronounced properly or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's part of it. Part of it is the pronunciation, but pronunciation is only part of the potency of the Brahma. Even if they pronounce it properly, that's not the only element which is necessary. So, yeah. So we see in Kali Yuga that simply chanting the mantra is not enough. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, the brahmanas do not have full potency. So therefore, the jagyas are not successful. This process is for a earlier age, when people had more potency. When they were more potent, they could chant the mantras and they would get the effect of the jagya. Whereas in Kali Yuga, because everyone's potency is diminished, then we cannot perform these jagyas and you cannot get the same benefit. So therefore, Prabhupada explains in this section of the Bhagavatam that the only jagya which has effect in the Kali Yuga is Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna in front of Sri Sri Gaudiya. This is the jagya for the age of Kali. Because Lord Chaitanya explains to us that Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sava Shakti Tatrapita Niyamitaha Smarani Na Kalaha. It does not chanting the holy names of Krishna, Sankirtan, it is not dependent upon material circumstances, time, place or circumstance. Whereas other forms of jagya are very much dependent on the external situation. Then the jagya becomes successful. The time must be appropriate, the place must be appropriate. And the circumstances must all be appropriate, correct paraphernalia and so forth. But in Kali Yuga it is not possible. Just like in Satya Yuga, then people, they would become successful by performing meditation. But you would have to meditate for sometimes 60,000 years of your 100,000 year life to become perfect. So obviously it is not suitable for everyone in this age. And then it explains that in the Treta Yuga, then you perform jagya. But once again, the amount of grains and ghee and paraphernalia and expert brahmanas you need to perform the jagya, then it is practically impossible in this age to become successful just through that process. Then in Dwapara Yuga, it describes that the process was deity worship. But it is explained in the Shastra that in order to install the deity, Jai Tirtha Charan Prabhu was telling me one time, to install the deities, you had to have solid gold altar. So the altar had to be something like 10 foot wide and 8 foot deep and 6 foot high, solid gold. Then you could install the deity. That was the system previously in Dwapara Yuga. So it's not practical these days. So therefore in Kali Yuga, meditation is not practical. Deity worship in and of itself is not practical. And performing jagya is not practical in and of itself. None of these other methods will give the desired result in Kali Yuga. You will not get the full fruit. You will not get the full result of your practices in Kali Yuga from the other methods. The only method which will give you the full result in Kali Yuga is Sankirtan. It's congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna in front of the deities of Gaudiya. This is the process for Kali Yuga. And by following this process in Kali Yuga, then you will get the full result. The full result of the chanting is Krishna prayer. As we mention every morning, before we recite the 10 offences, what is the verse that we chant? Bahu jamma kariyari shravana kirtana tabutana paya Krishna hari premadan. Premadan means the gift of prema, of love of Godhead. This can only be attained through offenseless chanting of the holy names of Krishna congregationally in front of the deities of Gaudiya. This is the method for Kali Yuga. And by following this process, then you can get all the benefit that you could get in the other ages. By 60,000 years of meditation, by performing opulent sacrifices, or doing opulent deity worship, then you can get the same benefit in Kali Yuga. But there are no hard and fast rules. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there is no hard and fast rule for chanting. Simply you have to chant without offense. But you can chant anywhere. Any time. Time is not a consideration. You don't have to wait for a particular titi or particular auspicious moment to perform the activity. You don't have to think about whether the place is pure or impure to chant the holy name of Krishna. Then you don't have to think what is the paraphernalia which we have. Simply you need mridanga, kartel, and then some devotees, and then you can have sankirtan. Whether the place is pure or impure, you will get the result. Just like on yesterday, then the devotees went and chanted in the Moomba celebrations. Kanamakana Swami, Natal Krishna Prabhu, and 30, 40 devotees. Everyone went and chanted. So the place was not appropriate. The time may not be appropriate, but for Sankirtan, it is most appropriate. So you chant the holy name, you will become successful. And all those who hear the holy name may also become successful. It describes just by once hearing the holy name of Krishna, then one can destroy more sins than one can commit in millions of lifetimes. That is the potency of the chanting. Just once you chant Krishna, Krishna, or once you chant the holy name of Rama or Hare, or you hear that holy name, then more sins than you can commit since you came into this material world, that is destroyed. That is the potency of the Yuga Dharma. So Prabhupada explains this in this section. This is the methodology for becoming pure in Kali Yuga. Now, Prabhupada says in the second part of the purport, envy, Prabhupada defines it that it means that we do not want anyone to excel us. That is envy. Envy is based on that feeling that you don't want to see someone superior to you. You don't want to see someone become glorified more than you. That is envy. We're feeling that others will receive more recognition than us. Or others will be become more successful than us. So therefore we want to influence that person. We want to pull that person down. So this is what envy is based upon. So we see that Indra, he becomes so envious that he tries to stop Prithu Maharaj from taking his position or equaling his fame. Because it is famous that Indra performed 100 Ashwamedha yajnas. And then Prithu Maharaj had performed 99, so then he became envious. So this is the nature of the material world. As long as we have this envious consciousness, then we cannot transcend the material energy. As long as we're feeling like this towards others, we cannot transcend. You can only transcend when you become unenvious, near matsara. This is the qualification for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be non-envious. Any points so far?
I've heard the pronunciation sometimes not correct. Is that effective? The pronunciation is not correct.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that we should pronounce clearly. Mm-hmm. Like that. It should be pronunciation. But then Prabhupada says in the pastime of Ajamil, which is in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, then Prabhupada explains in that pastime that, for example, at the time of death, it might be difficult to chant clearly. But if you're chanting sincerely, then Krishna will accept. Like that. So if there's some reason why you find it difficult to chant clearly, then Krishna will accept.
Is it only at the end of life? Or?
No, it can be like sometimes, like for myself, since I had the accident, then I find it hard to chant. Because chanting takes a great deal of energy, especially from the mind, from the brain. Now, I find that of everything that I do, I find chanting to be the most tiring. So sometimes when I chant, then it becomes hard for me to like pronounce and to like that. But the point is that Prabhupada says that the pronunciation must be sincere. That's the point. So if you're trying your best, maybe chanting does not sound so perfect, but you know, if you're trying your best, then Krishna will see the sincerity, that's the main. But we should try to make it clear.
Because I was reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat, And Lord Chaitanya said that if somebody is saying prayers for me, and if it, even if the pronunciation is not correct, I accept it.
Yeah, sometimes it happens that we don't chant so nicely because of some difficult circumstance, but if we're sincere, then Lord Chaitanya will accept. That's the point.
Guru Ji, brain injury close to broken area, then speech is affected very quickly. Seems to me that you had a grievous injury and Krishna saved you. So the speech deterioration will come when involvement in broken area, motor sensory part.
Anything else? When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation.
The word Markanda used in this verse is sometimes pronounced Vasanda. Both of these words indicate an imposter who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up the saffron colored dress as a way of cheating of it. This saffron dress has been misused by many imposters who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of God. In this way, people are cheated. As we have mentioned many times, the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat. Therefore, this quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. It is understood that even King Indra is not liberated from the clutches of material contamination. Thus the words Amuktam Iva, meaning as if he were liberated, are used. The saffron dress worn by a sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. Such a devotee is actually a sannyasi, all liberated person. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1, it is said, Anashrita karma phalam, karmam karma karoti yaha, cha sannyasi cha yogi cha, na niragnir cha chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work.
So, any points here?
Yeah. Conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat, and that's what we find in the trying to cheat, you know, sannyasi dress. Stole the horse.
Anything else?
So can you say Indra stole the horse is a lila or is it a karma?
Is it a lila or karma? Was that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, it is karma. Because it is under the jurisdiction of the modes of material nature. Like that. But then it becomes transformed into lila by the Lord. Because he's stealing the sacrificial horse from the Lord himself. So therefore then that becomes lila. But for him then he's performing some karma. If you're going he's in material consciousness, but because he associates with the Lord he gets purified. That's the benefit. Anyone who comes in contact with the Lord, then he becomes benefited and spiritualized, purified. Any other points?
How you could avoid it? If you are aspiring for some higher levels, it's natural to glorify those people who have already achieved that level. Is it that Indra got offended or that became angry because they're not showing due respect for people?
Yeah, he became envious because the Prabhupada said someone was about to excel him. When someone is going to excel you and you're attached to your false ego, your position, then you become disturbed.
You see some people like the garden, dissolves so-called enemies, isn't it?
If what?
If you seek guidance from these people who have achieved this status already,
he doesn't have humility. He doesn't see that the Preeti Maharaj is greater than him. When you're very proud, then you don't think others are greater than you, you think you're the greatest. So then, someone says,
if you try to translate this whole situation to the material world, where the main reason of envy is that resources are limited and people are really trying to get that, because the mapping of resources versus people is very less. There are less resources and more people, so it's not enough for everyone. But in this situation, Prithu Maharaj is not himself. He is just doing sacrifice for the people in general. He don't want the position of Indra. So by doing the sacrifice, we can understand that he will want to become the king of heaven. So he just take this. So results without achievement, we're talking that situation is. Then I find it difficult to understand why Indra is so worried.
Because the person who does this, then that's the benediction that he receives. He will get the position of Indra. So he's feeling threatened because someone could take his position. Okay. That other person may not have that motive, but then that's Prabhupada's point. The point is that Preeti Maharaj is a pure devotee. He's an empowered incarnation of Krishna. But still, Indra does not see him in his proper position. Indra simply thinks, oh, he is trying to get my position. So that material consciousness means someone might be qualified, still you become envious of that person. And we see the people become envious of devotees. And because they're Hare Krishnas, they're devotees, and then people might become envious, but there's no cause for the envy. But somehow they feel threatened by the devotees, then they become envious. So, Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport that the word which is used is Pashandi. Pashandi means
imposter,
cheater, or offender. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it is a great offense to cheat others. It is actually an offense against Krishna. All these bogus gurus, you know, who come with this bogus philosophy, which is not Vedic, it has no Vedic origin, that they come and they preach certain philosophies. But then, by preaching these philosophies, then they're cheating the public. So this is an offense towards the Lord. The position of the guru is that the guru is meant to bring those who follow him back to Krishna. So if the guru does not bring the person back to Krishna, then he is offending Krishna, because he's not fulfilling his role properly. So therefore, it is a great offence. It's called Pashandi. Now it describes... Can we just close that door properly? I think if you just slam it, it will let it close. It looks like it's closed, it's actually... Yeah, if you get like hard pull, then it shuts properly. So then... it describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, he will deliver anyone except the Pashandis. He will give his mercy to anyone except those who offend his devotees. Those who are offenders to the devotees. If anyone commits an offense towards his devotees, then that person will not get his mercy. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a pastime that the leper, Vasudev, he came before, not Vasudev the leper, but it was, just trying to think of which person it was. No, it was, it might have been Gopal Chakravarti, like that. He committed an offence. And then he contracted leprosy. There was two Gopals. There was the Chakravarti and there was another one as well. Gopal Chapel and then Gopal Chakravarti. I just can't remember exactly which person it was. But he committed an offence to one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees and then he contracted leprosy. And then later on he came to Lord Chaitanya and he begged forgiveness. He said, please forgive me. Lord Chaitanya said, you will suffer in hell for lifetimes. He said, I will never forgive you. He said, you will suffer leprosy for lifetimes and lifetimes. He said, you will never get forgiven. He said, the only way you'll be forgiven is if you go and beg forgiveness from my devotee who you have offended. No. No, it wasn't Srivas.
He offended.
Yeah, it was one of the Gopals. It wasn't that one.
No, but he offended the Srivas.
Oh, he offended Srivas. Okay, so like that. So then, he said, if you do not beg forgiveness from my devotee, then you will never be forgiven. So this is the position that the Lord will forgive anyone except he who commits this offence. So one who tries to mislead people, he is called Parshangi. And so he is a cheater. He's an imposter. He takes others away from Krishna. So this is a great offence to cheat others, to take them away from Krishna. So it is described, Brahma Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patava. There are these four faults. Illusion. Then imperfect senses. Then one commits mistakes. And then cheating. So there's four offences. You are in illusion. Illusion means you think you're out of the material body. Because you think you're out of the material body, then the material body has imperfect senses. With your imperfect senses, then you make mistakes. And then when you make mistakes, you want to cover it up, that is called cheating. So these are the four defects of the conditioned souls. Just like the modern scientists, then their senses are imperfect. So therefore, they make imperfect observations with their senses. They make mistakes, and then they cheat everyone. Even though it's clear that it's a mistake, that they cheat. Like that. So then this becomes the standard in Kali Yuga. The people are cheaters. Like that. But this is actually a great offence, to lead people away from Krishna. So even in the name of saying I'm a religionist, saying I am a Swami or I am a Guru, or like that, but if you're taking people away from Krishna, and if you say Krishna is one, everything is one, then that is you're cheating. Therefore you are an offender. So these offenders, that they get great punishment in the future.
Srila Prabhupada is perfect sannyasi. He never told his life. Perfect. Srila Prabhupada never told his life. Always truth.
Jagannath Prabhu was telling me this example. One sannyasi, one is called sannyasi. Once he was travelling in a taxi in Bombay. Then he handed 500 rupees to the taxi driver, and that person did not have any change. Then he gone, and because he was sannyasi, out of respect, he has gone out and just asked for change from other taxi drivers. And people were so surprised to see, oh, 500 rupees is coming from a sannyasi. And they started doubting that 500 rupees. They started to do a visual examination because they could not believe that sannyasi will have 500 rupees. So this imposter things has done big damage to India, especially in terms of there are some genuine people, they are not even getting a due respect.
Yesterday I got a call from my home. My mother was having Kripaladi Maharaj in Yanam. He was distributing his glasses and plates in the crowd, and the crowd was so much, there was a crowd in the crowd, and 80-85 people died over there.
In Vrindavan?
Yeah, in Vrindavan or in Mathura, somewhere like that.
Vashama. Kripalu. Yeah, he has an ashram in Vashama. Any other points?
We find that in hostels very regularly in India, though. Just I think a week ago, one of the guys was picked up by police.
Hmm.
He made calls and were involved in a few weeks of rackets.
Hmm.
It's a regular feature.
Hmm.
Because people in India tend to believe anyone with an orange juice.
Yeah, one time I was on the train and we're going from Calcutta to Puri, and there was one sadhu who was dressed in saffron, and then one of the children, he was, you know, six sleepers, and he was sleeping in one apartment, and then one of the children was making too much noise, so he pulled back the curtain and he was yelling at the child, you know, like, be quiet, you know, like this. So then the parents got very upset. They said, well, if you're a sadhu, you know, you're dressed like sadhu, then why are you getting so angry like this at a little child? So then big fight was starting. Sadhu was yelling and the mother was yelling. So then I went down in between the two of them and then I made them both laugh. You know, I made some joke and made it all light and everything like that. But then the thing is not really a sadhu. You know, dressed like sadhu, but not really quality. Doesn't have any tolerance or anything. It's coming up in the next section.
Beyond Sandeep, actually, the only she was happy, and this time was still the most of Mahabharata. But when he helped, you know, this official Pandita, you know, while he was standing, Mahabharata was immediately put to notice, you know, this very medicine. Although he still had, you know, the offense of offending the religion.
So Prabhupada explains, what is the actual qualification of a sannyasi? A sannyasi must have the body, mind and words engaged in Krishna service. That is the definition of sannyas. As Krishna says, first verse of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, sannyas is not he who lights no fire or performs no work. Yeah. A sannyasi is one who engages all of the activities in the service of Krishna. That is actual sannyas. Not that you become inactive. Sannyas means renunciation, but it does not mean you stop working, but simply all of your activity is done for the pleasure of Krishna, in body, in mind, and in words. That is the position of the Tridandi sannyasi. Yeah. A sannyasi must have the Tridandi staff. Body, mind and words are in the service of Krishna. And the little half moon is there at the top of the danda. Now this means the difference between the jiva and the supreme soul, the paramatma. Okay. Any points? What's that? You know, the crescent moon on the sannyas staff. You know, on the you see the sannyasis, they're done. Because they've got the cloth yet. In Prabhupada's photo. Yeah, you see in Prabhupada's holding the dhamma?
Yes.
So at the top there's a little like that. So that represents the difference between the jiva and the supreme soul. Atma and Paramatma. The Mayavadis have Eka Danda, just one Danda, because everything is one. Okay, we'll read the next paragraph. Usha, how did you continue the next?
In other words, one who offers the results of his activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a sannyasi and yogi. Treating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Buddha Maharaj's practice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some ages, such cheating is very prominent, and in other ages, not so prominent. It is the duty of a sannyasi to be very cautious because, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, sannyasira alpa Chidra, Sarva Loke Gaya. A little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyasa. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyasa in this age of Kali because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person advanced in spiritual understanding should attempt to take up sannyasa. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose.
What do you think?
I know people probably they just started getting saffron because they could not bang, and if they are banging, they are not getting anything. With saffron, at least they will get something and they will not die. It's a question of survival for them.
They take advantage of the soft hearts and innocent people.
Prabhupada explains that when he was a young boy, there was a man in his street who used to get up in the morning and then he would put on saffron and go out and beg all day and then come back in the evening, take off his saffron and then just play with his kids. So this is called?
Cheating.
Pasambi. Right, this is cheetah. Okay. So then in Kali Yuga, this becomes the standard. Someone is a sadhu just because they wear some saffron cloth and they go around and beg, and then everyone thinks, oh, this is sadhu. But what do we call this? Ladu? Sadhu. It's called Ladu Sadhu. Ladu Sadhu. Yeah? Simply their interest in filling their belly. Badu. But this is not actually sattva. This is not actually spiritual life. So it is mentioned that only someone who is very advanced in spiritual understanding, who has a very exalted nature, then he should take sannyas. Because Prabhupada explains it is not recommended in Kali Yuga. Sannyasa is dangerous in Kali Yuga. Because to actually be a sannyasi is very difficult in Kali Yuga. To engage the body, the mind, and the world. So one has to be very advanced spiritually. So one has to have the blessings of one's guru. Then when one has the blessings of the guru, then he can take sannyas. Any points?
So there is an organization, and this, they are not sannyasi, but they put on saffron cloth, and actually they are married as well. So,
And then in Kali, you see the women wearing saffron? You know, you see sannyasinis? There's no such thing in the Vedic culture, you know. But then you see in the, you know, you see the women wearing the saffron, aren't they? Women never wear saffron. It's not the Vedic culture. But you see the women there wearing saffron. They say, "I am a sannyasi." This is all Kali Yuga concoction.
Oh, sannyasi actually banned in the scriptures.
Actually.
It's actually backed by the scriptures as well. It's one of the four items in the age of Kali.
Five
items.
Yes, five items.
So, how is it that, how should we understand and justify so many of our rules taking the good and the non-part of life?
What's the?
Sannyas is one of the four items. It's banned according to the scriptures. It's a scriptural injunction not to take basically sannyas out of life.
Yeah, so it says that generally you should not do it, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada says here in this purport, he says, if you are highly qualified, he says, if you are exalted and highly spiritually advanced. So we see all these sannyasis in this kind of exalted, they're highly spiritually advanced. So it is not that no one can take sannyas, but it is not recommended in the age of Kali.
Mm-hmm.
because then it becomes cheap. I have sannyas, have sannyas, but people are not qualified. Then it will cause disturbance for them and disturbance for everyone else.
So what are the four other items which are there?
There's the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Chankazi. Then cow sacrifice. Yeah. Cow sacrifice, horse sacrifice, having children
from the brother's wife,
sannyas. Is it? Offering meat to forefathers. Rasa says offering meat to forefathers. Obviously. Okay. You look, it's there with cousin. Any other points?
Is it that the brother is alive and after departure also? Because in India, especially in North India, particularly the Hindu community, when the elder brother dies, he is under responsibility in one sense for the elder brother to marry and live in his own life.
I don't think that's Vedic. Could be there, I don't think it's Vedic. But I don't remember hearing anywhere in the Vedic scriptures that they would marry the departed. Or that they to protect them, but not marry them. Yeah, so I don't think that's a Vedic. Yeah. So not a system. Okay. When the son of King Prithu was informed by Atri of King Indra's trick, he immediately became very angry and followed Indra to kill him, calling, "Wait, wait." Would have abundant
The words
"pistachio"
is translated as
"pistachio."
Used by Kshatriya when he is angry at his enemy. When fighting, a Kshatriya cannot flee from the battlefield. However, when a Kshatriya out of cowardice flees from the battlefield, showing his head to his enemy, he is challenged with the word "pista." A real Kshatriya does not kill his enemy from behind, nor does a real Kshatriya turn his back on the battlefield. According to Kshatriya principle and spirits, one either attains victory or dies in the battlefield. Although King Indra was very exalted, being the king of heaven, he became degraded due to his stealing the horse intended for sacrifice. Therefore, he fled without observing the Kshatriya principle. And the son of Prithu had to challenge him with the words, "Pista, Pista."
So any points here?
So does he take permission from his guru, Brahaspati, whenever he is in want of the tranquility? Because he's got a qualified guru, and every time we find Indra in want of such activity, he has some permission from his guru.
Yeah. It means he's not following the order of the spiritual master, which is offence against the holy name, offence against Krishna. Okay. If you do not follow the order of the guru, then you offend Krishna.
I didn't think he asked him.
You don't think he did?
I don't think he asked him whether he should do that or not.
So, if one acts irreligiously, then one becomes degraded. That is the nature of the material world, that one must follow the laws of God. When one stops following the teachings of Krishna, then what takes place? Degradation. One becomes very low class, like that. So Indra is actually a very exalted personality, he's a very qualified person. But when you stop following the teachings of Krishna, the instructions of Krishna, then, and the Guru, then one's consciousness becomes very low. So actually, someone who is from one of the higher classes, someone who is a Vaishya, or a Kshatriya, or a Brahmana, they're considered to be cultured, trained. Shudras are not so well trained, so therefore they may perform more low class activity. But the higher classes, they are expected to act properly. So it is very low class for someone to act in this way. So that's why Indra has lost his potency, because he has become irreligious. He's not following the laws of Krishna, he's not following the laws of the Guru, so therefore his consciousness has come down. No honourable person would ever do anything like this. Can any of you ever imagine putting on saffron and going and begging around the doors, or or performing some cheating activity? Just like you see those in India, that means they have no character. They go and dress up like something, but no character, no actual substance, no spiritual potency like that. So it's considered very low class, the way Indra is behaving at this point. Any points?
I didn't think that Indra envy made him do all these things. And envy has come down, stooped down to any level.
Anything else?
Okay.
What's that? If we had proper people running the universe, these things would not happen. Maybe next lifetime you can go up there and sort all of this.
I don't want to go there.
Where do you want to go?
I want to go to
Krishna Loka. Krishna Loka. Okay. So there's one person in this room who is from Krishna Loka.
Yes.
Who is that? So you just said it in front of him.
Yes.
So now it means it will come true. I heard one lecture, my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Last week, I think it was. I was listening, and he said one of the devotees said that, said that we want to take birth in Vrindavan.
Okay.
And he said just because you said it, Krishna will make it happen.
Thank you,
don't thank me. Yeah, when you see him, send him a message from me. To say, when you see him, to say, can you bring Keshava soon? If he wants.
Not soon.
Soon, yeah. Soon means, no, it means this is not long time. This is not long time. 40 years in this world is not very long time. Soon means in their time. It's up to you. If you say it in front of Giriraj, then it will happen. So you have to be careful what you say. Yeah. In the spiritual world, there's Bhagavatam is all that they speak. 10th canto is all they speak. Okay. I won't say anything. Nothing for me to say in the spiritual world. I'll just follow all of you and all of the other devotees. Okay. King Indra was fraudulently dressed as a sannyasi, having knotted his hair on his head and smeared ashes all over his body. Upon seeing such dress, the son of King Prithu considered Indra a religious man and pious sannyasi. Therefore, he did not release his arrows. When Atri Muni saw that the son of King Prithu did not kill Indra, but returned deceived by him, Atri Muni again instructed him to kill the heavenly king, because he thought that Indra had become the lowliest of all demigods due to his impeding and he's impeding the execution of King Prithu's sacrifice. Being thus informed, the grandson of King Vena immediately began to follow Indra, who was fleeing through the sky in great haste. He was very angry with him, and he chased him just as the king of the vultures chased Ravana. When Indra saw that the son of Prithu was chasing him, he immediately abandoned his false dress and left the horse. Indeed, he disappeared from that very spot, and the great hero, the son of Maharaj Prithu, returned the horse to his father's sacrificial arena. My dear Lord Vidura, when the great sages observed the wonderful prowess of the son of King Prithu, they all agreed to give him the name Vijitashwa. My dear Vidura, Indra, being the king of heaven and very powerful, immediately brought a dense darkness upon the sacrificial arena. Covering the whole scene in this way, he again took away the horse, which was chained with golden shackles near the wooden instrument where animals were sacrificed. The great sage Atri again pointed out to the son of King Prithu that Indra was fleeing through the sky. The great hero, the son of Prithu, chased him again. But when he saw that Indra was carrying in his hand a staff with a skull at the top and was again wearing the dress of a sannyasi, he still chose not to kill him. When the great sage Atri again gave directions, the son of King Prithu became very angry and placed an arrow on his bow. Upon seeing this, King Indra immediately abandoned the false dress of a sannyasi and, giving up the horse, made himself invisible. Then the great hero, Vijitashwa, the son of King Prithu, again took the horse and returned to his father's sacrificial arena. Since that time, certain men with a poor fund of knowledge have adopted the dress of a false sannyasi. It was King Indra who introduced this.
Since time immemorial, the sannyas order has carried the tridanda. Later, Sankaracharya introduced the Ekadandi sannyasa. A tridanda sannyasi is a Vaishnava sannyasi, and an Ekadandi sannyasi is a Mayavadi sannyasi. There are many other types of sannyasis who are not approved by Vedic ritual. A type of pseudo sannyas was introduced by Indra when he tried to hide himself from the attack of Vijitasava, the great son of King Prithu. Now there are many different types of sannyasis. Some of them go naked and some of them carry a skull and trident, generally known as Kapalika. All of them were introduced under some meaningless circumstances, and those who have a poor fund of knowledge accept these false sannyasis and their pretenses, although they are not bona fide guides to spiritual advancement. At the present moment, some missionary institutions, without referring to the Vedic rituals, have introduced some sannyasis who engage in sinful activities. The sinful activities forbidden by the Shastras are illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. These so-called sannyasis indulge in all these activities. They eat meat and flesh, fish, eggs, and just about everything. They sometimes drink with the excuse that without alcohol, fish, and meat, it is impossible to remain in the cold countries near the Arctic zone. These sannyasis introduce all these sinful activities in the name of serving the poor, and consequently, poor animals are cut into pieces and go into the bellies of these sannyasis. As described in the following verses, such sannyasis are pakhandis. Vedic literature says that a person who puts Lord Narayan on the level with Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma immediately becomes a Pakhandi. As stated in the Purana, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrari Devasya Samatve Naiva Vikshetar Sha Pakhandi Bhaved Dhruvam. In Kali Yuga, the Pakhandis are very prominent. However, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tried to kill all these Pakhandis by introducing the Sankirtan movement. Those who take advantage of the Sankirtan movement of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness will be able to save themselves from the influence of these Pakhandis.
Is there any points here? It's stated in the Puranas. I'm not sure. Maybe it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe the quote. Any other points?
I remember when one Master Chief's mother, a devotee from Macedonia, she had a sister who was also vegetarian. She was Universal Life Christian vegetarian. So when her mother died, it was some very strict Christian. When they had a funeral and when they were supposed to distribute, offer the food to forefathers and distribute offerings, it was some strict Christian festival. So they couldn't offer meat. So they didn't offer meat to the forefathers and to others. And I remember also when my father passed away, they did same on some St. Mary or something, some day when you can't eat meat. So my mother didn't actually offer meat and didn't offer to others and to my father. So I was thinking how Krishna made this arrangement even without, you know, he followed the scriptures, he made it like this way.
So, Prabhupada says that the sannyasis that we have in the Kali Yuga, they are meaningless. Okay? Meaning that they take sannyas, but there's actually no meaning to it because there's no authority. Just like Indra, he is just beginning a new, like sampradaya. Right? He just dresses up as a sannyasi, just ties his head up in a knot, puts on some saffron. Right, but there's no sampradaya, he's not coming from any particular parampara like that. So that is what's happening in this day and age. Prabhupada says it's just meaningless. Right? Someone is just dressing up and following something, but there's no actual parampara. It's not actually based on anything Vedic. And then these days they have all these different swamis and gurus and missions and groups like that, but they do all sorts of things. Just like myself and Veda Priya, we went to visit the Buddhist retreat center, which is not far from our Hare Krishna Valley. So we went to visit. And then we were speaking to the head nun there. She lived there, as maybe 12 of them or something. And then we're walking around with her, and as we're leaving, then she, you know, Veda Priya said something about being vegetarian, and she said, oh, that is good. If you can do it, that is good. But she said, more important is you're just a good person. So it doesn't mean anything, meaningless. Yeah? So they call it some philosophy or they call it something, and they dress like sannyasi. She's wearing like Buddhist saffron, you know, like, you know, some sort of vaish, but meaningless. Doesn't mean anything. There is no actual authority. Yeah? It's not Vedic. Like that. So therefore this is what we have in Kali Yuga. You just meet all these people, but they're not actually following something. So there's no potency. So then, Srila Prabhupada says that they are killed by the Sankirtan Jagya, by the spreading of the Sankirtan movement. Because in the previous ages, Krishna and Balaram would kill the demons. But in Kali Yuga, Gaur Nitai, they kill the demoniac qualities of the people. Because if they kill the demons, there would be no one left. So therefore they kill the demoniac spirit, which means the spirit to be rebellious against God. That is destroyed by the Sankirtan movement. That is Gaudiya Vaishnava's mercy in the Kali Yuga. Any points?
Are we supposed to offer the obeisances to the Mayavadi sannyasis?
Like when you go to India? And yeah, it says you should offer pranams. Should be respectful. Yeah. At least the ones who are coming from Shankaracharya, who are following strictly, then they have some potency. So we should be respectful. We should, you know, offer respect. Some of them actually are quite potent. They have some shakti like that. So you should offer respect. But Lord Chaitanya says, don't hear from them, that's all. Yeah, don't listen to them. Just like I was in, I was on the train, I think we're going to Calcutta to Puri. I was with Sri Radharaman Prabhu, Gurujan Prabhu's disciple. And we were sitting there chanting japa. And you know, sometimes you pull the curtain. So we're both sitting like on the seat. We're both sitting and we had the curtain and then we're chanting our japa, both of us are chanting. And then one of the other devotees was sitting out on the seat and he was talking to one gentleman, and then that man, he said he was preaching to him. And then that man said to him something about Lord Jagannath. Like we are all one with Jagannath or something, because we're just going to Jagannath or something. And then Sri Radharaman Prabhu looked at me and he said, do you want to take care of it or should I? Like that. Because someone had to correct this man. Like that. So I can't remember what I said. One of us spoke to the man. Like that. I had to say something. Because these days people don't know anything. They all say something. They have concoction. Just like Dave and Rita Swami was saying on the Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Then he was watching, he was in the hotel room for some of the Ratha Yatra, because he could not walk the whole Ratha Yatra because very hot and austere. So he was in the hotel room and he said the TV was on. And then they were watching, and then the commentator who was commenting on the Ratha Yatra, he said that Lord Jagannath is for the Vaishnavas, Balaram is for the Shaivas, and Subhadra is for those who worship Shakti, Durga. So this is just complete concoction. Mm-hmm. Where does this come from? So this is what they say in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, you say anything you want. Right? In America, there's 5 new religions every week. Right? You just want to start a religion, you just go and start a religion, say whatever you want. In India, there's 5 new religions probably every day. You know, just start a religion, right? And say whatever you want to say. Just like in America, they were doing a census, and all the citizens, you had to write down which religion you are. So you say Christian, Jew, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, like that, and so many. And then at the bottom it said other, you know, if you have some other religion. So then everyone was writing Jedi. And Jedi, there's one movie called Star Wars, very famous movie. And on this movie, the religion is called Jedi. So many people were writing Jedi, they had to make a new section on the census, Jedi. Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Islam, Jew, Jedi. And now so many people are Jedi. Right? It's not even a religion. It just comes off a movie. This is Kali Yuga. Right? It's actually quite a good religion. It's better than probably a lot of the other religions. But it's not even a religion. So this is the Kali Yuga. There's so many sannyasis and gurus and so forth. There's so much bogus thing that's going on. So what Prabhupada says, that by spreading Sankirtan, then we can kill this demoniac mentality and bring people to the actual standard of worshipping Krishna, which is there. Okay, so we'll just finish the verses. Whatever different forms Indra assumed as a mendicant because of his desire to seize the horse were symbols of atheistic philosophy. So Prabhupada says that the only bona fide type of sannyas is Vaishnava sannyas. This is bona fide. And this is coming from parampara. But the other types of sannyas, they are not bona fide. Shankaracharya started another type of sannyas, Mayavad sannyas. At least that's coming from Shankaracharya. But the other ones are just completely concoction. They have no authenticity. In this way, King Indra, in order to steal the horse from King Prithu's sacrifice, adopted several orders of sannyas. Some sannyasis go naked, and sometimes they wear red garments and pass under the name of Kapalika. These are simply symbolic representations of their sinful activities. These so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are all godless atheists and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. We must know, however, that they are only passing as adherents of religion and are not so in fact. Unfortunately, bewildered persons accept them as religious, and being attracted to them, they spoil their life. Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. As the Prabhupada explained, that King Prithu was immediately, as the emperor of the world, he was immediately ready to chastise the unauthorized religions. So Prabhupada says that this is the position of the leader. They should restrict any unauthorized religious practice. So within ISKCON, it is our duty to make sure that there are no philosophical deviations. Sometimes we hear different deviations come up. Just like the Ritvik philosophy, so many different philosophies may emerge, but we must become very learned, and then we must be able to detect when some philosophical deviation is taking place, and then we must correct that. We must protect ISKCON from any philosophical deviation, because this can ruin the spiritual life of the members. So we'll stop here, and next week we'll continue with the chapter. So we gave out a letter last week asking if any devotees feel inspired, please give a donation. We're building a new altar at Hare Krishna Valley, the Gorni Sai, and buying a new mower. So far, two devotees came forward in the class, and they said they would give $1,000 each for the new altar for Gorni Sai. If anyone else feels inspired, please let us know. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.